Well, Grace House folks, I want to say to you that what God has given us to do here as a house, we can't see that mission accomplished without a complete dependence upon the Holy Spirit. If it has to do with something mere men or mere women can achieve, then that's not what God's about. The call that we've been given and the message that we've been given to share and the ministry that's before us is humanly impossible. But with God, all things are possible. So it's going to require a complete and total dependence upon Him and His enablement and His power. I want to talk to you about the demonstration of the Spirit's power. I do apologize. I did not put the apostrophe, the possessive apostrophe on the end of spirits, because that can totally change the message. I'm not talking about the Spirit's power, plural. Now that could be a message, but I don't think it's the message for today. I really meant to do that. Anyway, I'm talking about a demonstration of the Holy Spirit's power, the power that's released from Him and by Him to us, in us, through us. That's the kind of power we want operating in our lives and here at Grace House. Let's just jump right into the Word. The book of Acts is an incredible chronicle for us of the life of the early church. Written by Luke, the human instrument God used, but inspired by God's Spirit. And as we begin verse 1 here, Luke calls our attention to a former account he had made of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. That's a reference to the Gospel of Luke. Say Gospel of Luke. That's his record of all Jesus began to do and teach. But the book of Acts is a continuation of the story of Jesus. And it begins by us being told that Jesus is ascended. And these first verses just are full of the supernatural. I'm going to read them in just a moment, but notice these verses contain for us ascension power, resurrection power, revelatory power, Holy Spirit baptism power, evangelistic power. All of this is seen in these few short verses. And Luke is just what he's doing to begin this journey in the history of the church, because he's got a story 28 chapters long he's going to tell. The apostle Paul's not even on the scene at the beginning, and he's waiting in jail to die at the end. So a lot happens across a period of about 30 years or so. The book of Acts unfolds, showing us the life of the early church, what the early church had, what the early church did, how God moved through the early church. I would suggest to you this morning, beyond suggesting, I would declare to you that this is the pattern that not only yesterday's the early church had to have, but it's also the pattern to which we must cling. It's what they had is what we need, and I would say to you that what they had, we actually have. But wrong belief, wrong teaching, lack of faith, modernism, all of those kind of try to choke the life out of the supernatural Holy Ghost power we see pulsating in the lives of the early disciples. And I pray God would shake this place and shake this people with that pulsating power that comes from on high. The former account I made, O Theophilus. Theophilus means lover of God. This is who Luke's writing to. It can be a specific literal person, I believe it was, but also a general announcement. If you're a lover of God, listen up. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, that's the ascension, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments, that's revelation, through the Holy Spirit had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering. That's his death, burial, and resurrection. The power of resurrection. After his suffering, by many infallible are, if you will, unmistakable proofs. Being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now, I'm going to read on in just a moment, but let me parenthetically pause and just think about what that says to us about what we are supposed to believe. Our basic beliefs as Christians. We believe in ascension power. Can you imagine, can you let your imagination drift with me back to that moment we find here that it had already happened, Luke's recorded it, but he's telling us about when it happened. Jesus is conversing with his disciples, and then all of a sudden, he just takes off, straight up. Can you imagine what that looked like? I mean, this is what we believe. That he literally ascended up into the clouds, into the heavens. As a matter of fact, if you read on verses beyond this, the disciples are gawking into the clouds, and angels appear and begin talking to him and say, why are you standing here gazing into the heavens? This same Jesus whom you see ascend into heaven, he's going to return in like manner. They saw him leave, we're going to see him come. So you got ascension, you got resurrection, you've got revelation. You've got the second coming, all right here. And this is what Luke is saying. This is important for you to know, to really understand what God did with his group of disciples in birthing the church. And then for 40 days, he appeared to them. And when it says appear, it's not like knock on the door. Hey, you guys, it's like they're in a room by themselves and poof. I mean, the glorified body had capabilities that the bodies we possess do not have. I mean, what I'm saying is the supernatural permeates these verses, and these are things we as believers believe. But do we really expect to see outbreaks of the supernatural like this? Or have we been hoodwinked to relegate it to 2,000 years ago? It's what God did to kind of kickstart things. And we can think back how awesome that must have been. But yet, the Scripture tells us in this very occasion, we're told in Mark's Gospel, we're told in Matthew's Gospel, on this very occasion, you're to take this to the whole world, and you're to teach disciples to do the same things I taught you to do. And he said, I will be with you until the end of the age. In other words, till he returns. So the church is to continue to teach disciples to do the same things Jesus taught the 12 to do. And that's a lot of stuff, among which are things like go out, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, cast out devils. Freely you've received, freely give. That's the kind of things he taught his disciples to do. So when he says, I command you, notice that he gave commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. This is straight from headquarters, guys. This is what you do. I spent 3 years with you. I mentored you. I showed you how to do these things. Now, you're going to teach others to continue to do what I've taught you to do. And I want you to continue to do that until I come back. Mark's even more specific. These signs will follow those that believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. If they drink any deadly thing, it won't harm them. And so forth. Mark continues on. And then it says, they went out preaching the word, and the Lord was in their midst, confirming the word with signs following. You put all this together, package deal, that's our mandate. It's not just proclamation, that's of primal importance, proclaiming the gospel. But it's also demonstration. Last Sunday, we were in that passage in Luke 5, where the friends let the guy down through the roof, if you remember. And Jesus made a statement, which is easier? To say your sins are forgiven or rise up and walk? The man had been paralyzed. And Jesus said, so that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, rise up and walk. And he rose up, got his mat, and went home. In other words, there was a demonstration to validate his proclamation. You want to know if I can really forgive sins? Watch this. Rise up and walk. And so, the demonstration is to still be active today. We're not to have a powerless version of Christianity. Proclamation, yes, we're mandated that. Demonstration, yes, we're mandated that. We need the demonstration of the Spirit's power in our lives and in the church today. Luke goes on to say, and being assembled together with him, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. What's that? Holy Spirit, right? Which he said, now listen to this, you have heard from me. This is Jesus saying, you heard this from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Remember, 40 days he had been teaching them things pertaining to the kingdom. That included Israel being restored. God's not through with Israel. It included that. Otherwise, their question makes no sense. They still didn't fully understand how the dots connect, and we're still trying to figure it all out ourselves. But he goes on to say, and he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the end of the earth. And when you read through the book of Acts, that's exactly what happened. The promise of the Father on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out. When the Holy Spirit came upon them, there was manifestations of His power. They heard the sound as of a rushing mighty wind, Acts 2. They literally saw cloven tongues of fire. I was in a service a number of years ago. This is the only time I've seen this particular manifestation. But for a few brief moments, I literally saw with my eyes open, it wasn't vision, but with my eyes open, suspended over people, I saw flickering flames of fire just in midair. Just for a few moments, I saw it just like I'm seeing you now. And it was like, this is incredible. And then it vanished. But on the day of Pentecost, everybody was seeing these flickering flames of tongue-shaped fire over their head. And then they began to speak as the Holy Spirit, who has now come upon them, gave them utterance. And they were speaking languages that were not the language of their human origin. In other words, they were speaking languages that they'd never humanly learned. And yet, they were speaking languages that other people there from the other nations could hear and understand. That still happens. And plus, there's languages, as we read on in the New Testament, there's spiritual languages, tongues of men, tongues of angels. There's languages where we're communicating in the realm of the Spirit when we're speaking in tongues. I believe there's a whole lot that goes on that we don't understand, and we can say we understand, but even Paul says when you're speaking in an unknown tongue, your mind is unfruitful. In other words, you don't understand. But your spirit gives evidence that you're in union with God, and the Holy Spirit is manifesting through you. So, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is here. Now, this message, let me take just a few moments. I want to talk to you a moment about how the Holy Spirit, how he manifests and demonstrates in people's lives. Usually it starts, He's with you. I'm going to talk about that a moment. Then, there comes a time when He's within you. And then there is the upon you ministry of the Holy Spirit. Okay, and I want to talk about those three things. And then we'll just see. Let's just ask the Holy Spirit what He wants to do beyond that, okay? So let's just talk for a moment about how the Holy Spirit's with you. Now, did we not just read in Acts 1, where Jesus tells these disciples, Luke's recording this, He said, John truly baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Didn't He say that? So that means at that point, they had not yet been baptized by the Holy Spirit. Would that be correct to say? Okay, hold that thought. Now, do you remember, if not, just listen up, I'm going to tell you. In John 20, after Jesus rose from the dead, one of those times He appeared to His disciples, okay? And it says in John 20, let me give you the reference here. In John 20, I'm going to read it for you. Verse 22. And when He had said this, He breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. That's John 20. That's right after the resurrection, but before the ascension. Acts 1 is right before the ascension. And Jesus says, not many days from now, you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then He ascended. So the baptism of the Holy Spirit, whatever that is, happened after Jesus ascended, right? This happened before He ascended, after He was raised from the dead. He breathed on those disciples, and He said, receive the Holy Spirit. So do you think they could receive the Holy Spirit when He breathed on them and said that? It really doesn't make much sense if they couldn't, right? Do you think it was His intention when He did that for them to receive the Holy Spirit? So, biblically, we can conclude it was at that moment that those disciples received the indwelling of the Holy Spirit into their life. Up to that time, they were operating under Jesus covering His authority. He had sent them out, and whatever they did in His name. They were operating under His covering, under His authority. Just like in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come upon kings and prophets at different times to do everything. So it was more like that. It was a temporal thing. But now, He says, and remember He had been teaching them in John 14, 15, 16, it's necessary for me to go away. If I go away, then the Holy Spirit can come. He even said, in the works that I do, you're going to do those same works. And even greater works than these. Why? Because I go to the Father. So His going to the Father, which resulted in the promise of the Father coming to us, resulted in us being able to continue in the works of ministry. In other words, Jesus, who was indwelt and empowered, He was indwelt with the Holy Spirit from His mother's womb, remember? And the Holy Spirit also came upon Him and empowered Him for ministry at His baptism. You kind of see that pattern there. And He did what He did as a man full of the Holy Spirit. And now He's telling those disciples, I'm about to ascend. And I don't think it was like, receive the Holy Spirit. I believe it's probably more in alignment with the biblical pattern that God Himself established. Genesis 2, verse 7, He formed man out of the dust of the ground, and He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, the ruach, the Spirit, and he became a living soul. But man sinned, and then he lost that. That was the first Adam, right? Now, the second Adam, the Lord from heaven, He's come, He's accomplished His purpose, He's fulfilled the mission of the Father by dying on the cross, He's preparing His disciples to continue His work on the earth. And so now, just as Adam had the breath of God breathed in him to walk in dominion and authority and be God's under regent in the earth, now we, as the bride of Christ, Jesus the last Adam, Jesus goes, I believe He went to each one of them and went, receive the Holy Spirit. And they had that pre-sin Adamic moment, if you will, when God's Spirit came in and indwelt them. So they were indwelt by the Holy Spirit. This is what we call now the moment of conversion. The being born again. Being born of the Spirit. Being made a new creation. So when you got saved, Write this down, Romans 8:8-9. How that you're not to walk in the flesh, but, let me read it. Let me be accurate here. Romans 8, listen to this. 8. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. So you don't even belong to Him unless the Spirit of the Holy Spirit indwells you. Receive the Holy Spirit. They received the Holy Spirit. That was their indwelling moment. That was their conversion moment, if you will. They now have the Holy Spirit living within them. And Jesus appeared to them for 40 days and is teaching them. But before Jesus ascended, He said, John truly baptized with water, but you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Whatever that is, it wasn't what happened in John 20. They received the Holy Spirit within them in this passage. But the Holy Spirit came upon them in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So, let's go back to what I'm talking about. The Holy Spirit with you, the Holy Spirit within you, the Holy Spirit upon you. The Holy Spirit with you, before this happens, the Holy Spirit's with you to convict. All around the world, the Bible, Jesus said when the Holy Spirit comes, He will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Toe-tapping moment. We as the church must not forget that part of the gospel message is to confront people with the fact that they are dead in trespasses and sin. That we have fallen short of the glory. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And if we're not careful, we can almost develop this mindset. Well, we've all sinned. We're all sinners. So, hey. But the truth is, it should be like, oh my goodness, I'm a sinner. You see, the Holy Spirit helps us to recognize our alienation from God because of our sinful choices. The Holy Spirit helps us know that we're rebels at the level of our heart. The Bible says the heart is desperately wicked, deceitfully wicked, above all things. Who can know it? We have to be saved from our sin. That's part of the gospel. If people don't know they're lost, they're not going to sense the need for their Savior. So all of our journey begins with the Holy Spirit being with us as He convicts us of sin, what's wrong. Of righteousness, what's right. Of judgment, oh my goodness, I'm a sinner. I haven't been living righteously, and I'm going to be accountable to God for that. There's a great day coming. Paul said it this way, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Judgment is coming. We believe in a literal heaven, and we believe in a literal hell here at Grace House. We believe there is judgment coming. But for the person who is saved, we can have the assurance that the judgment we deserve has been executed on Christ at the cross, and through faith in Him, we are delivered from that sentence of death and judgment, and imputed to us is the righteousness of Jesus Christ Himself. That's the beauty of the gospel message that takes care of the ugly truth of our sinfulness. But without Christ, we are dead. We are lost in sin. A world without Christ is a world separated from God. So the church, we have to be light. We have to be salt. And again, we don't need to be offensive just to be offensive. Like turn or burn. And if you burn, I'll be happy about it. No, you don't want that kind of attitude. We need to have Father's heart. He's not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. So the Holy Spirit with you is that convicting. And thank God for that. Do you remember when you were saved? You remember how the weight of your sin, it seemed like you go from not being aware of just exactly what's wrong. But all of a sudden you're made aware, this is sin. And I've sinned against God, my Creator, the one who loves me, the true and living God. I've wronged him. I've violated his ways. And the Holy Spirit makes you aware of that and awakens you to that, which leads you to cry out for salvation. And whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10, 9 through 13, read that. He's with us initially, then within us at the new birth and when we're born again. And that brings us back to, well, what about the upon us? Jesus is talking about in Acts 1, John baptized with water. But you, those who've already received the Holy Spirit, will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. It's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The empowerment and enablement. How do we know that? Because Jesus goes on to say that you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. When he went, receive the Holy Spirit, whatever that was, it wasn't the, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. It just wasn't. It's the same guys. Does that make sense? Now, the baptism of the Holy Spirit can be simultaneous with your salvation. Or it can be subsequent. You see it all. You see the different ways it happens in the Scripture. In Acts 2, after the Holy Spirit came upon believers, and they were empowered now to be Christ's witnesses. Peter stood up and preached. Then the Holy Spirit that was present in the crowd, who had not been baptized by the power, they were convicted by the Spirit. He was there. He was with them. And then they heard the message. What shall we do then? And Peter told them to repent. You know, to believe on Jesus, repent, and be baptized, every one of you. That's salvation, when the repentance turned into Christ. And then he said, and then you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I believe that's a reference to the baptism. And for some people, like in Acts 10 in Cornelius' house, while Peter's preaching, they didn't even let him finish his message. They just went ahead and got saved and started speaking in tongues because the Holy Spirit had came upon them. In Samaria, they had received Christ, they'd gotten saved, but it wasn't until the apostles came, laid their hands on them, that the Holy Spirit came upon them and they were empowered. Now, I know there's a lot of brouhaha about the evidences of it, but anyone who reads the Scriptures would have to say that the majority of times you see this happening, the evidence, the manifestation that's seen is people begin to speak in tongues. People didn't know what tongues was, hadn't been trained, didn't have, you know, nobody was manipulating them. The Holy Spirit just came upon them, and as they opened their mouth to praise God, to speak, the Holy Spirit gave utterance, and this new language began to be being spoken. And that's been repeated millions and millions and millions of times. I had been pastoring and preaching the gospel and leading people to the new birth to receive the Holy Spirit to indwell them for 15 years before I got it straightened out that there's more. And as soon as I saw that in the Scripture, I received it. And all of a sudden, I'm praying in these tongues. It's just flowing. And the next thing I know, I'm wanting more of whatever that was. And I'm sneaking off to these meetings where people who had more was telling you how to get it. And I got more. I got empowered. I mean, I started seeing things I hadn't seen before, knowing things I didn't know before, and doing things I hadn't done before because of the empowerment and the boldness of the Holy Spirit. And I'm just saying, I'm speaking for our leaders here and for most of our membership. This is what we believe. We're not ashamed of it. As a matter of fact, we're grateful to have to know this and to press into it. And that doesn't mean we're coloring all the dots just right and connecting all the lines just right. Anybody that tells you they've got it all just right, or anybody that tells you they've got it, got all that you can have, I'm telling you, the river's deep and the river's wide. And there's another drink for you. Burp and get more.
That might be what we see sometimes is people burping. One more. You folks watching online, that's an in-house joke, okay? But are you with me? The Holy Spirit's with us. We get saved. He's within us. And yet there's more when He comes upon us to receive power to be witnesses. For me, that resulted in like spiritual gifts being activated. Whether I had them before or not, I don't even worry about that. I just know when I got the empowerment and realizing, oh, this is how it works, I started seeing things. Matter of fact, I literally believe I was getting words of knowledge for years. I didn't know how to understand it, how it was working. But when I opened myself more fully to who the Holy Spirit was, other things just started snapping into place and working. And if you've heard me teach on healing and stuff, you've heard me say this. I don't exactly know how that works. I really don't. I've just learned, just do what Jesus said. And if Jesus doesn't do it, it's not going to be done. Stay humble. And just do what Jesus says to do. You'll see more happen than just like, well, if God wants me to do something, He's going to have to show me or He's going to have to make me. Well, that's not the way God operates. Now, every now and then, He'll knock somebody off their high horse like He did Paul. But for the most part, it's about operating in faith. There's more for the asking. And we want to see the demonstration of the Spirit's power. I was reading about Jack Coe this past week. Any of you ever heard his name? Jack Coe was one of the well-known evangelists during what was called the Latter Rain Healing Revival. It basically started at the conclusion of World War II and went through the 1950s. There were numbers of well-known men and women whom God moved through mightily. It's amazing some of the things that were being written in major newspapers that were happening. Like a congressman getting healed and jumping up out of his wheelchair, a U.S. congressman, and then going around the country giving his testimony of how he was divinely healed in a healing meeting. I think that was a William Branham meeting. You have people like A.A. Allen, William Branham, W.V. Grant, Lester Summerall, Kenneth Hagin, Paul Kane was a young man during that time. And on it goes. Jack Coe was a young man. He was saved. He'd go out and get drunk all the time. And one night he came home. He'd gone to town and he wandered into a gospel meeting and got saved. When he got home, he came into the house and his grandfather said, "There you are, you're drunk again." He was speaking in a language he had never heard or learned before. He goes to bed, and he gets up the next morning. They got breakfast on the table. He comes in. He's just all glowing and happy and joyful and said, "We need to pray before we eat." They'd never prayed before a meal. Didn't even know of such a thing. But what's wrong with you? You know what happened? He got saved. He got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Then he wanted to start serving God. He got involved with the church. And felt called into ministry and went to the pastor. And the pastor said, "Well, we need you to clean the toilets." He goes home and tells his wife, I'm not called to clean the toilets." And she said, "You need to do what your leaders are telling you to do." So he goes back and he cleans toilets. Wasn't long that they gave him a 2-year-old class. He was faithful with that. And then later, God called him into evangelism. And it wasn't long after that they had the largest tent in the whole world. Like 25 plus thousand people, bigger than Barnum and Bailey's tents. He and Oral Roberts had the two largest tents during that time. And people were, he was compared with Smith Wigglesworth. There's time he would hit people. And I'm not suggesting you do that. We are not credentialing anyone this morning at Grace House. "Well, the pastor said slug you." No. I'm just saying this testimony of Jack Cole and Smith Wigglesworth. There was time that he'd hit a woman in the stomach and the tumor, she'd cough it up. Stuff like that. He would pray for like somebody with a goiter. He'd just reach and grab it and yank it off and throw it in the floor in Jesus' name. It'd come off. Stuff like that. Well, I don't know about that. Jack Coe. He had a meeting in Miami, Florida, and some of the churches didn't believe in healing and certainly didn't like what they were seeing and hearing about. They got a petition. Any of that, he was brought to court. He was served papers. He had to appear in court. And he had been criminally charged for practicing medicine without a license. And they brought in witnesses. And they said some of them were false witnesses telling all this stuff that literally didn't happen, trying to get him in trouble. The judge listened to the whole case. At the end, the judge says, there is no law against divine healing. That's it. Exonerated him. And some of the healing evangelists from across the country came to be in the courtroom when they were having this trial. The local sheriff's department down there in Miami even made Jack Cole an honorary sheriff. I mean, he had favor with the people. God was using him powerfully. He died a year later at the age of 38. But God worked through that man. He had a bold faith. He just believed the book said it, you do it. But there was a demonstration of power. 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 The Apostle Paul, I'll close with this scripture. Worship team, come on up, and we'll see. We'll just come on up. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul is giving testimony here. And he says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And that's the trouble today. Too often, we determine to know other things besides that. We become specialists in all this other stuff. We're called to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He said, I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. You say that in front of some church congregations, they'll rebuke you for not having faith. And yet, this is an inspired word of God. Paul said, when I was with you, it wasn't all this fancy preaching. As a matter of fact, I was with you. I was in weakness, fear. My knees were knocking. But here's the deal. He didn't let that shut him down. He may have been weak. He may have been dealing with some fear. His knees may have been knocking. But he preached Christ and Him crucified. He goes on to say, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Why? Why, Paul? Why was it that way? Verse 5. That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. These people in the early church, these are the people God used when He birthed His church and sent them out to the nations. This is their testimony. This is how they lived. This is how they rolled. This was their wheelhouse. Preach the gospel. Yeah, you're going to run up against stuff. You're going to feel weak compared to what you're seeing and surrounded by. Physiologically, you may be dealing with some fear. Your body's reacting. You may not know, what am I going to say? How can I persuade these people? Paul said, it wasn't about that. I knew that God's power is what was needed. When I was with you, I was among you in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would rest in the power of God. We need the Holy Spirit and His power in Florence, Alabama, in Lauderdale County, in this Tennessee Valley. We need to see God's Spirit moving. We need that conviction. I've told you about my Hell's Angel buddy. He's gone to be with Jesus. His name was Gene Colbert. He was called Animal. 6'7", 270. I had him in for a revival one time in my Baptist days. And we promoted him, former Hell's Angel, you know. This man was a big teddy bear. But when he shared his testimony, he told the stuff he got into. I mean, the illegal stuff, all the kinds of immorality, how hard he was, but he had a neighbor named Ted. And Ted was always happy. He said he was one of those Christians that made you sick. just always happy, always full of joy. He'd come over, he'd try to start talking to me, I'd run him off, just like you would a dog. Get back, I don't want you to talk to me about that. But here's what happened over a period of time. Ted and Ted's wife witnessed to Gene's wife, and his wife got saved. He'd share his testimony. It wasn't enough. I had one of those kind of Christians as my neighbor. Now I've got one in the house with me. I've got one in the bed with me at night. And she's going off to church, and she's coming home talking about Jesus. And instead of them fighting and having all these arguments and cursing each other out, now she's real sweet. She's cooking him some good meals. She's being nice to him, trying to serve him and just live the Christ life. And he said, I just started getting convicted. I didn't want God. I didn't need Him in my life. I didn't think I did, but over a period of time, wore him down, and the boy got saved. God called him to preach, and I'm telling you, when he preached, there was such conviction. And one night when he was sharing his testimony, there was a local motorcycle gang in the region, and they showed up at our church, rode those hogs into the parking lot, came in with their black leather on. They're all dressed out, and they got their banners and flags and stickers and skulls and bones and scowls. They lined up on the back. I got up to make announcements and introduce the speaker, and look, and I saw them back there. I saw a whole row of black leather, all kind of insignias. Gene got up, didn't bother him. He started preaching Jesus. He preached the message of his testimony, and at the end, he gave the invitation. People started coming. And the leader of that motorcycle gang, he stepped in front of some of his buddies. He worked his way to the aisle, and he came down to the front. He had tears streaming down his face. You see, the Holy Spirit could do what no man could do. And then here came one of his buddies, and another one, and another one. And I think there were eight of them that night that came and gave their lives to Christ. I knew about this group. I didn't spend much time with them. But after that night, we'd meet up at the coffee shop and sit down and talk about Jesus and share scriptures out of the Bible. Folks, some of the people that you may be afraid of, or you in the natural, you don't want to have anything to do with, or you don't like being around them, only thing they need is Jesus, and everything's going to be all right. And you and I, we're called to tell them. And we need to be able to see the power of the gospel verified, validated, and confirmed with signs following. That's the New Testament pattern, the New Testament way. Let's just bow our heads for a moment. Holy Spirit, have your way. Lord, I want to ask you this morning, move on people's hearts. Holy Spirit, is there something you want to do? I want you to stand with me. I'm going to ask our altar workers to come on up and leave some room in the altar, please, but just come up on each side. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, I encourage you to come and give your life to Christ. But also, I want to encourage you, each and every one of you, regardless, that whatever you're struggling with or whatever you're facing or whatever need you have in your life, Jesus Christ is more than able. We serve a God of power. I feel like as we enter into this time that there's someone God's wanting to touch right now. It's like in your left kidney area, that area of your body on the back there, that there's some pulsating pain. I just feel like a knotting up and then a pain. And you've been dealing with that. And I believe the Lord is showing me that, and He wants to heal you. And I encourage you just to walk out this aisle and come down here and receive ministry. We're going to ask the Lord to touch you and heal you in Jesus' name. Who might that be? Would you raise your hand? Okay, dear brother. Yeah. We have more than one. Okay. Three. Okay. Left side. Okay. All right. You having pain right now? Okay. I'm going to take this oil here, and I want to anoint you with it. And we're going to all agree in prayer together. This is body ministry, which means it's like, you know, you build a fire, you put one stick on there, you can get a fire going. But what if everybody puts a stick? Add your faith to what God's doing in the room. Because this, there's no telling what He might do here today. Okay? Sister Carolyn, I anoint you with this oil in the name of Jesus. And Lord, you know this pain. Can I have your right hand for a moment? Just right there. I pray right now, we just speak to that pain. We bind it. Be loose from it right now. In Jesus' name, be healed. Be healed. Be healed. You receive it? Okay. Is there any pain?
It's just gone down to my knee, but it's not there.
Okay. We just say pain. All the pain be gone from... all the way down. Be gone. In Jesus' name. We honor you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Lord, bless my sister now in Jesus' name. More. 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 And dear brother, are you having pain right now? Okay. I anoint you with this oil in the name of Jesus. Can I give you the right hand? That's just, for some reason, that's what works for me. We just take authority over that pain in the left kidney area. We bind it right now in Jesus' name and command it to go. Be loose from it. Be healed. Amen. Be healed in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And while I'm holding your hand, I see you like pulling a wagon. It's like a little, like a little boy would pull that kind of wagon. And it's like a really big load. And then it just shifts. The scene shifts, and it's like I don't even know how to describe it other than I've seen it on some of these old movies where the farmers have these huge wagons. It's just stacked with these big hay bales, just way up high, and they have like six or eight horses pulling it. You know what I'm talking about? What I've seen there by vision is that you were struggling to pull that little wagon, and all of a sudden the scene shifted, and you're not having any trouble pulling this bigger wagon. It's just there's no effort. And I think the Lord is saying there's been some things that you've struggled with to try to bring about and cause to happen. But the Lord says, you release this to me and you receive the greater measure that I have for you. With no effort, you're going to begin to see increase. You're going to be able to carry a much larger load. And I think some of this relates to even ministry, you know. Sometimes there's so much warfare and trying to get something started and out of the ground, but I just see a shift. It's like if you just hoist those shells, and the sails, and the wind's going to come, and you're going to be able to move forward with these. Is it what's the Lord given you to do? Awesome. What about it ministry-wise? What's on your heart?
My wife and I are planning, hopefully this fall, to open up a prison ministry.
Oh, starting a prison ministry. Okay. Well, Lord, I just thank you for this. We just say yes and amen to what you put in our brother's heart, Lord. And he's used to pulling a trailer and landscaping. I just pray for expansion, more increase with less output. And, Lord, that you just surround him with that anointing and that favor. Connect him, Lord. And we just are believing with him for that, moving from the little wagon to the big wagon, and from a lot of work to less work, yet more accomplished. And for his ministry, Lord, oh, how that's so needed. How that's so needed, Lord. We just pray you'd breathe on that and bring it into being in Jesus' name. Amen. You tell any difference in the pain? It's gone. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. That's awesome. 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 Well, I anoint you with this oil, dear sister, in the name of Jesus. And you've been having pain in that left kidney area?
Kidney.
Yeah, well, before you say anything else, when I touched you, on the right rib cage area, look right here, right through here, you've been having anything going on there?
Yes, sir, very badly.
Okay, very badly? Okay, well, because I feel like the Lord's showing me that now. You know what that means, don't you? Two things. That means He loves you so much. He knows everything that's going on. I know the first word was a general word, and three people came forward, but I was feeling that. But now, very specifically, He's dialing in on you. And just receive His love. And we reckon what He's going to do about those things now. Yeah. Amen. So in the name of Jesus, would He speak to this pain that's attacking you and coming against you? And the root and source of it, we break its power over you now. In the mighty name of Jesus, be loosed. Be loosed. And be healed. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You've been praying for more of the Holy Spirit? Okay. Father, I pray now for the baptism of the Holy Spirit for my sister. I pray, Lord, the Holy Spirit come upon her. And even, Lord, you'd loose her tongue in Jesus' name more. More. Just receive it right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Just begin to praise Him. Just begin to praise Him with those words that the Holy Spirit gives you. Amen. More. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. More. 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 These brothers are going to pray for you. In just a moment, we're going to just ask whoever needs prayer. Come, I'm going to go ahead and release you. Feel free to linger as long as you want to. Continue in prayer here. And I don't mean to get out of the Spirit into the natural.